Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord Jesus will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isn't it so good to know that no matter what situations we encounter, no matter what trials and tribulations we go through, God is always there with us, and he's always there to bring us into a good and expected end. All right, well, welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. Tonight I'll be teaching on dreams and how to hear from God in your dreams. So the name of this lesson is How to Hear from God in Your Dreams. And just for a test so that I can make sure that you're out there on the phone lines, I'm going to open up the phone lines. I'm opening up caller. Your last four digits are 3395. Are you live and on the air? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, caller? Caller,
hello?
3395. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm good. Who's speaking?
This is Tamara.
Hey, Tamara, how are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. I was just doing a check to make sure that everybody can hear me. So if you can hear me, I'm going to go ahead and head on with the teaching.
Okay, I can hear you fine.
Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you, Tamara. I'll come back to you in a little bit.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, welcome to Beauty for Ashes. I'm your host, Prophet Kyle Miller. The Bible says in Isaiah 61:3 that the Lord will give us beauty for ashes, an oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Isn't it so good to know that no matter what situations we encounter, no matter what trials and tribulations that we go through, God is always there with you? Well, beloved, I'm excited to teach a new series that I have never taught on Blog Talk Radio. And it's actually one of the most favorite things that I like to teach. And tonight I'll be teaching on dreams and visions. And I've actually entitled this lesson, How to Hear from God in Your Dreams. I'll repeat that. How to Hear from God in Your Dreams, or How to Hear from God in Your Dreams. And I'll be teaching on how dreams are a major way in which God speaks to us. And so if you would, just to get us started, we're going to start off in Job 33, starting in verse 14. Job 33. Starting in verse 14. And it starts this way in Job 33:14. It says, "For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not." So this scripture says immediately right here in Job 33:14 that God is always trying to talk to us. A lot of times God is trying to speak to us, but we don't perceive him, so we don't understand what he says. And, you know, this is really important when we understand dreams and visions and revelatory things because, you know, I've heard a lot of people, they'll say, well, the prophet prophesied to me, but I don't remember God saying that to me, or that's not confirmation of something that God has already spoke to me. But this scripture shows us immediately right here in Job 33:14 that there's some times where God is actually speaking to us and we don't perceive him. The scripture says in Job 33:14, "For God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceives it not." So God will come and speak to us, then he'll speak to us again. We still don't perceive what God is saying. In verse 15, "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbers upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction." So that's Job 33:14-15. I think it's two things that I definitely want to camp out on and explain. And here he says in verse 15, he says, "In a dream, in a vision of the night." Well, you know, there's another false teaching that says that a dream is what you have when you're asleep and a vision is what you have when you're awake. But we see here in Job 33:15, it says in a dream, in a vision of the night. So we see right here that you could actually have a vision. You could actually have a vision while you're sleeping. A vision is not necessarily a vision doesn't necessarily have to be something that you have while you're awake. But there is a distinct difference between dreams and visions, and I'm gonna share with you that later on in the teaching. I'll explain to you the difference between dreams and visions, but it's a little bit more nuanced. Then dreams are what you have when you are asleep, and visions are what you have when you're awake. That's a little bit, just a little bit too simplistic, and I'll explain why in a little bit. In a vision night when deep sleep falls upon men and slumberings upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and he seals their instruction. So what this scripture is saying, that in a dream or a vision of a night, God will then speak to us. He opens up our ears. He speaks to us, and then he seals that instruction. And why does he do that? From verse 17, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. So the reason why a lot of times God gives us a dream or a vision, the main specific purpose is that he's trying to bring us into an alignment with his perfect will for our life, while also trying to steer us away from any pride or any haughtiness in our own heart, or things that we just want to do on our own. And it's interesting, the scripture says he seals it. That's what the scripture is talking about. You know, we talk about a deja vu. You know, we go somewhere and we're like, wait a minute, I dreamed this. I dreamed I was doing this. That would be an example that he's talking about here, where he's is sealing the instruction, where he's literally giving us a plan and purpose and showing us what to do in our dream, so that when we encounter it while we're awake, we know what to do. It makes me think of the prophet William Branham. And I was just recently going back reading over some of his writings. And William Branham, if you don't know, William Branham was a major prophet that God used back in the 1950s and 60s. He was one of the major players. Him and Oral Roberts, they were two of the major players of the healing revival or the divine healing movement that started in 1948. Excuse me. And one of the ways in which God would speak to William Branham is he would literally show him a vision of something that was supposed to happen before it happened. And then so when he encountered that real experience, he would know what to do. And I was just reading his book, written by Gordon Lindsay, A Man Sent by God. And William Branham tells a story about he had a vision once. It was a dream. It was a vision that he had while he was sleeping. I'll explain the difference between dreams and visions later. But it was a vision that he had while he was sleeping. And in the vision, he saw himself in another country, and it was a very mountainous area, and he was on a two-lane highway on this mountain. And while he was coming around the corner, there was a bicycle accident where he could see that someone had been hit. And so he asked the driver to stop the car. He gets out of the car, walks up, sees a little boy that's been hit by a vehicle, lays hands on the little boy for healing, and the boy who was pronounced dead arises and comes to life. And so just as he saw that vision, months later, he was in another country, and he was with his driver, and they were coming around this mountainous area in another country. And he sees the same vision of a bicycle that's been hit. And so because he had the vision before, and he knew that in the vision God was going to heal the little boy, that's what he did. He asked the driver to stop. He got out of the vehicle, and he went over to pray for the little boy. The boy had been dead. And they said, oh, well, brother, this little boy is dead. And he said, no, let me lay hands on him, because God showed me in a vision that when I lay hands on him, I was to speak life into him, and the little boy would live. And sure enough, Brother Branham, he laid hands on the little boy. The little boy came to life, and he lived. And so that was an example of a vision. That's what the scriptures talk about when he says he seals our instruction. God will, in a dream, in a vision, he will literally give us instruction of things to do, so that when we encounter those things, that we know what to do. And he does it in verse 17, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. So one of the reasons why God gives us dreams and visions is to steer us away from our own selfishness, from our own purposes, from our own desires, what we want to do, so that he can direct us and guide us to the place where he wants us to go. Verse 18, he keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So we see that dreams are also used to keep us from evil and to keep us from perishing. And that immediately reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, in Nebuchadnezzar, the Lord showed him in a dream that he was going to be a wild man, and that he would roam the earth for 3 years. And God actually spoke that to Nebuchadnezzar with the hope that Nebuchadnezzar would repent and come back to him, because Nebuchadnezzar had begun exalting himself. You know, he had built idols unto himself. I think he, in the scripture, says he had built a statue to himself that the people were to bow down and worship. And so God comes and speaks to him in a dream and tells him, Nebuchadnezzar, if you don't get your pride in check, you're going to be destroyed. But if you repent, I will cause you to prosper. And that's exactly what happened. Nebuchadnezzar initially did not repent to the Lord. The scripture says he walked around as a madman for 3 years. And finally, after 3.5 years, he came to his senses. He remembered the dream that the Lord had gave him. He repented, and the Lord restored him back to his right mind, and he went back to rulership and leadership of the kingdom. So we see from this scripture that dreams are also a warning. God uses dreams as a way to warn us, to protect us, to lead us and guide us, and to get us to where we're supposed to be in him. Amen. We talked about dreams and visions. So now I'm going to do a little definition of what dreams are and what visions are. Well, a dream, according to Webster's, a dream is a sequence of images passing through a sleeping person's mind. A dream is a sequence of images passing through a sleeping person's mind. So in scripture, we see that a dream is typically something we have when we're asleep. So you can't have a dream when you're awake. Okay. You can't have a dream when you're awake. And my teacher, John Paul Jackson, I sat under John Paul Jackson for a couple of years, and he taught us on dreams and dream interpretation. One of the things that John Paul used to say, and I do agree with John Paul, is that dreams are typically symbolic. Visions are more literal. Dreams are symbolic. Visions are literal. So a vision we can have either when we're awake or when we're asleep. Dreams we have typically when we're asleep. Dreams are symbolic. Dreams are symbolic, meaning that, you know, most of the time when you guys, y'all have a dream, and you have a dream that one of your loved ones has passed away and died, and, you know, you immediately wake up, or you'll come to a prophet, somebody, you say, I had a dream that grandmama died, okay? That's usually symbolic. That's usually not literal. That usually doesn't mean that grandmama is getting ready to die. That's usually a symbol that God is telling you that a significant relationship that's in your life is about to end. Typically, when you see death in a dream, it's usually symbolizing a relationship. You know, your grandmother, if your grandmother was a significant person in your life, then it's a relationship that that's about to end. Let's say your grandmother has passed away, has already passed away, and in the dream you see your grandmother and she passes away. Well, that dream may possibly mean that there is a significant relationship from the past that the Lord is putting an end to. You see, so it's symbolic. Dreams tend to be more symbolic. Visions tend to be literal. Definition of a vision is a mental image. It's a mental image. And visions typically are more literal. So, for instance, an example that I was sharing with you where William Branham saw himself healing the little boy, that'd be an example of a vision. That was literal. In the vision, William Branham saw himself healing the little boy, and then in real life, William Branham actually healed the little boy. And so a vision can be had while you're sleeping, or it can be had while you're awake. But visions typically are more literal. Dreams typically are more symbolic. And so we kind of have to learn through spiritual growth, you know, when God is speaking to us and how he's speaking to us, and whether what we're seeing is symbolic or it's literal. So now I'm going to share with you 7 reasons why we should listen to our dreams, you know, because I grew up in a church. It was a Word of Faith church. I can't say that this church was representative of all Word of Faith church, but my pastor, he was very practical. He was a very no-nonsense person. And so in his teaching, he kind of downplayed dreams. As a matter of fact, I had to really get delivered from some of the stuff that he taught. And let me say something. This was a mighty man of God. He's actually still living. If I named him, He's on television now. If I named him, you would all know him. I sat under his ministry for several years, going to his Bible college in California, in Los Angeles. And he was a great teacher. But when it came to visions and dreams, he kind of oversimplified things in a way to where basically you kind of left feeling like dreams were not necessarily that important. But no, dreams are very, very significant and very important part of how God speaks to us. So I want to share with you seven reasons why we should listen to our dreams. The first reason is that God declared that he would speak to us through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. And the scripture I have is in Numbers 12 and 6. And he said, "Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream." So this scripture is saying that if you are a prophet of the Lord, or if you're someone, a prophetic person that hears from the Lord, that God is going to make himself known to you in a vision, and he'll speak to you in a dream. So we see from this scripture in Numbers 12:16 that dreams are important because it's one of the ways in which God reveals himself to us and he speaks to us. Okay, another reason why we should listen to our dreams. Number two, God declared that he did speak through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. God declared that he did speak through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. So if God spoke to people through dreams and visions in the New Testament, that surely us as New Testament believers, God will speak to us through dreams and visions. And the main point I'm trying to get to is this. Sometimes we kind of teach on dreams like it's something optional, like it's something we don't have to worry about, that it's some type of ancillary doctrine that we can just throw to the side. But we see here from the scripture that dreams are a major way in which God speaks to us. And God declared that he would speak to us through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. This is Hosea 12 and 10. Hosea 12 and 10. "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." I'm going to read that again. This is Hosea 12 and 10. "I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets." So we see from this scripture that God spoke to his prophets through visions and through similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. So God, we see that dreams and visions, that is a major significant way in which God speaks to his prophetic people, is through dreams and visions. So that's why we need to pay attention to our dreams. That's why our dreams are important. That's why we shouldn't just blow our dreams off and say, "Oh, you know, that was a pepperoni pizza dream. I ate too much ice cream the night before." And, you know, we say that all the time and we make light of it. But, you know, sometimes these pepperoni dreams that we think are just a no-nonsense dream, they're highly symbolic dreams that God is using to speak to us about something that he's trying to bring healing, correction, or direction in our life. Okay, third reason why we should pay attention to our dreams. God declares that he will communicate through dreams and visions in the New Testament as well. And so we see in Acts 2 and 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams." All righty, I'm gonna get something to drink right now. Thank you. I have been dealing with a little bit of sinus issues, but anyway, God is good. So Acts 2 and 17 says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." So we see right here that this is one of the main symbols of the last days, is that God is going to give young men visions, of old men dreams. Or that could be young women visions, of old men dreams. Now, I used to ask myself, I said, why did God classify it that way, where he said the young men shall have visions and the old men shall have dreams? Now, this is my understanding on this, and this is just my opinion. I think that the reason why God says that young men will have visions and old men will have dreams is that it takes more spiritual maturity to interpret a dream. So a vision, if a vision is literal, it is what it is. God shows you something, you see something. Let's say you're praying for somebody, you see a, you see something over their head, or you have a vision of something that's about to happen, and it happens. It doesn't take as much spiritual muscle, so to speak, or as much gifting, so to speak, or as much spiritual maturity, because what you're seeing is what you're seeing. It is what it is, whereas a dream is more symbolic. And so it typically takes a more mature Christian to interpret a dream, because probably the best way that we learn how to interpret dreams is through Scripture. Scripture is probably the absolute best way to interpret a dream. And so when people ask me and they say, well, Brother Kyle, can you refer to me a book or some type of language on how to interpret dreams? Usually what I would tell them is the first place you need to start is the Bible. Take whatever you saw in that dream and look it up and see if you can find it in the Scripture. You know, and then through that Scripture, the Scripture will give you revelation on what it is that you actually saw and put it into a context. Amen. So when the Scripture says, you know, in Acts 2 and 17, that you that your young men have dreams, your old men should dream dreams, what it's saying is that, you know, the young men, they're flowing in that anointing and God is speaking things literal, whereas the old men, because they are more mature in the things of God, they're more equipped to interpret spiritual language and similitudes, so to speak. But nevertheless, third reason why we should pay attention to our dreams is that God declares that he will communicate through dreams and visions in the New Testament, which we see in Acts 2 and 17. All right, fourth reason why we should pay attention to our dreams. God declares that he will counsel us at night through our dreams. So God says that he'll counsel us at night through his dreams. Psalm 16 and 7, I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind, my inner man, instructs me in the night. My inner man, my mind instructs me in the night. So that scripture is telling us that God will actually counsel us and give us instructions on things to do in the night season. Have you ever been in a situation where you had a really major challenge going on in your life and you just flat out did not know what to do? And you go to sleep, you have a dream, and even though you may not necessarily understand what the dream means, when you wake up, you feel more peaceful. You feel like, I just know all of this is going to work out. Well, that's an example of God counseling us in our dreams while we're sleeping. Now, this is interesting. I had to take a pen right here. As I was sitting here teaching this, the Lord told me that many of you who are listening right now, you're like, Brother Kyle, I don't have dreams. But the Lord is saying right now, as you're listening to my voice, God says, I'm activating and I'm operating within you, and I'm opening up your mind to hear, and I'm opening up your eyes to see that I'm prophetically imparting to you an anointing for dreams. And the Lord says, I'm going to use you, and I'm going to speak to you through dreams, and I'm going to even show you of those things to come. And the Lord says that dreams will become even more significant in the days to come, because many things that we see will not be obvious. Many of the things that we are experiencing will not be obvious. So God says, I will speak to you directly through your dreams and your vision so that you can have clarity and to know what is to do, because God says it's going to come a time where very soon where I'm going to shake up the market. I'm going to shake up the financial arena. I'm going to shake up the business sector. And God says, I'm going to begin to release this grace of dreams and visions into my body so that they can prosper even while the world is suffering. For the Lord says, I'm going to raise up a remnant of my prophets, of my born-again believers that are going to speak and decree the manifestation of my word. And as they speak my word, they're going to allow the eyes and the ears of those people that they speak to begin to see and to perceive things more clearly. So the Lord says, think it not strange that you are here now listening to this teaching on dreams and visions, because the Lord says, surely you are my chosen elect, those who are on this line right now, and I'm going to open your eyes and your ears to hear and to receive everything that I have for you. And the Lord says, you will manifest my purpose in the earth realm as you see, as you perceive, and as you realize that I'm manifesting myself through you in your thoughts, in your dreams, and in the visions that I show you, says the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Wow, I didn't know God was going to start prophesying, but praise the Lord. we'll go ahead and flow on with God. You know, I always found out it's always better to just flow on with God. All right, in about 10 minutes, I'm going to open up the phone lines. If you'd like to join, you can call me at 347-996-3442, 347-996-3442. I am working through some sinus issues. I feel great. I'm just dealing with some of the little sinus issues, so not claiming it, but just recognizing what it is and thanking God that I'm healed in Jesus' name. So I'm not going to prophesy for a very, very long time tonight. I'm probably going to open up the lines and minister to two or three people. But fifth reason why we should pay attention to our dreams and our visions. Fifth reason why we should pay attention to our dreams and our visions. Rather than our dreams being fatalistic, dreams are also calling us to change so we will not perish. I'm going to say that one more time. Rather than our dreams being fatalistic, dreams are calling us to change so we will not perish. You know, you ever had a bad dream and you say, oh, Lord, what is this? Well, sometimes God will show us something bad. A lot of times God will allow us to tap in on what I call second heaven revelation. Now, the scripture says that Jesus ascended above all the heavens. Apostle Paul talks about the third heaven in which he entered into, which he heard things that he could not even utter. So we know Jesus is in the third heaven. The scripture talks about in the earlier part of Job how Satan went up and would talk to God about Job. So we believe that that's probably the second heaven. So when I've heard of second heaven revelation, that's typically the area where the scripture mentions in Ephesians that there's principalities, power, might, wickedness in high places and heavenly places. That's that second heaven, that where the enemy operates in different types of spiritual warfare and wickedness. And so sometimes when we're dreaming, God will allow the enemy to infiltrate our dream with a second heaven revelation. The enemy does it to torment us, but God will actually allow that so that we can see what the enemy is doing so that we can pray against it. So when I talk about dreams and being fatalistic, you know, if you have a bad dream that something bad is going to happen, rejoice, because that's God extending his grace and mercy to you in that situation so that you can pray against it. And so rather than our dreams being fatalistic, dreams are calling us to change so we won't perish. And this is Job 33:14-18. For God speaketh once, yet twice, yet man perceives it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbering upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man, and he keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. So what does God do? He gives you that dream, and the purpose of that dream is to keep our soul from the pit. In other words, keep us from darkness, keep us from hell, and our life from perishing. So one of the reasons why God gives us dreams, and one of the reasons why we should pay attention to our dreams, is that dreams are a major way in which God keeps us from evil, keeps us from the plans of the enemy, and keeps our lives from perishing so that we can continue to walk in divine success. Excuse me, y'all. Amen. All right. Sixth reason why we should pay attention to our dreams. God does very significant things within dreams. God does very significant things within dreams. And one example I give you is Genesis 15, 12, 13, and 18. And to set this scene up, this was Abraham in Genesis 15. It's probably one of my favorite scriptures. And you remember back in Genesis chapter 12, God had prophesied to Abraham and told him that he was going to be a father of all nations, and that from him all nations of the earth will be blessed, that him and Sarai were going to have children. And so now it's Genesis 15, and Abraham has started to get kind of depressed because he hasn't seen the manifestation of his prophetic word come to pass. And most biblical scholars believe that it's been 20 years between Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. And so you can imagine if God had told you, you know, you're going to experience all these things in Genesis, you know, like Abraham did in Genesis chapter 12, and now it's 20 years later, and that word is still not come to pass. You know, Abraham has started to get a little depressed. And beloved, let me just say this. That's one of the reasons why we continue to stand in faith on the word, because some prophecies are not an overnight prophecy. Some of the prophecies that we receive from the Lord are not going to come to pass tomorrow or 2 weeks or 2 months from now. Some prophetic words are words that we have to hang on to. Abraham received a prophetic word from God, and it's been 20 years, and this word still has not come to pass yet. And so Abraham goes to God, and he says, you know, God, you know, you told me all this stuff was going to happen. It hasn't come yet. And, you know, the scripture said Abraham had become a little bit depressed. And so then the Lord said, okay, Abram, what I want you to do is I want you to look up in the sky. And the scripture says Abram looks up in the sky, and the Lord says, what do you see? And he says, I see stars. And he says, see, as those stars are too many to be even numbered, he says, so shall your descendants be. And the Lord was basically telling Abram that, yes, I still have not changed my mind concerning the promise that I have you, have not changed my mind concerning the prophecy that I gave you. And he gives him the analogy of the stars, you know, as many stars you can see in the eye, see in the night sky that are numerous, you know, that you can't even count. God says that's how many your descendants, how much more shall your descendants be. And so then the scripture says that Abraham goes into a deep sleep. And so starting in Genesis 15 and 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying. So the scripture then goes on here in Genesis, and I'm not going to read all of it, but basically what happens is God then cuts covenant with Abram. And covenant was very significant in the Old Testament, because a covenant was basically it was a contract that could not be denied. It was a contract that could not be broken. And so to confirm to Abram that he was still going to inherit the promises of God, God cuts a covenant with Abram to confirm that he's still going to do what he said he was going to do. And man, I wish I had time to teach on covenant, but you know, covenant is very, very significant, especially as it relates to biblical teaching in the Old Testament and even the New Testament, because we don't really understand covenant now. You know, we make contracts, we make them and we break them, we find loopholes and things of that nature. But back in biblical days, when you made a contract, that meant it was binding, and the only way that you could get out of that contract was through death. And so here is God, an infinite God who has everything, and he makes covenant with man. Man actually, and this is the other thing about covenant. In a covenant, what it says is that everything that you have is mine and everything that I have is yours. So God makes this covenant with man, with Abram. Abram has nothing to give God, but God has everything to give him. But to prove to Abram that God is going to do what he said he's going to do, he makes a covenant with him, basically saying that this covenant can only be broken through death, that I'm making a covenant with you. And so it was through that covenant that Abraham was satisfied, and he knew that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. It was the only way that was not going to ask for God to die. And, of course, we know that it is impossible for God to die, because God is infinite. All righty. Seventh reason why our dreams are important, and why we need to pay attention to it, to our dreams. Reason why we need to pay attention to our dreams. God grants supernatural gifts through dreams. God grants supernatural gifts through dreams. Okay, 1 Kings 3, 5, 9, 12, and 15. 1 Kings 3, verses 5, 9, 12, and 15. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked what I should give thee. And then Solomon says, give therefore my servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this by greater people? Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lord, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. This is the Lord now speaking to Solomon. So that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So Solomon had a dream. In the dream, Solomon is asking, you know, God is asking Solomon, what do you want? Solomon says, give me wisdom so I can rule over the people. And in the dream, God gives him a supernatural gift of wisdom. So we see that in our dreams, we can actually receive impartations. You can receive spiritual anointings. You can receive giftings in dreams. You know, I've had dreams where different prophets that I've never met, but nationally known prophets that if I called them out, you would know them, where they were laying hands on me. I had a dream a few years ago where Bishop Hammond of Christian International Ministry, the apostolic prophet, where he was laying hands on me and imparting a gift unto me. And I had another dream where John Paul Jackson was laying hands on me and imparting a gift. So, you know, we can actually receive giftings and anointings in our dreams. Okay, so to summarize for this week's teaching on dreams and visions, 7 reasons why we should pay attention to our dreams. 1, God declares that he will speak to us through dreams and visions. 2, God declares that he did speak through dreams and visions in the Old Testament. 3, God declares that he will communicate through dreams and visions in the New Testament. 4, God declares that he will counsel us at night through our dreams. 5, rather than our dreams being fatalistic dreams, God will cause us to have these dreams so we will not perish. 6, reason why we should pay attention to our dreams. God does very significant things within dreams. For example, he established the Abrahamic covenant through a dream. And, you know, I never even realized that until I started doing the study on dreams and visions, that the Abrahamic covenant, the scripture says that now that we are Abraham's seeds and heir according to the promise, that the promises that we've received through Christ Jesus, through Abraham, actually came through a dream. That's pretty astounding. So, you know, we think and we say, well, what's the significance of dreams? Well, everything. You know, God established one of the most significant covenants in the Old or New Testament came through a dream. So, you know, we want to blow dreams off. We see the dreams are very significant. And 7, God grants supernatural gifts through dreams. So we see that through dreams we can actually receive spiritual gifts. Amen. So this is going to be a good teaching. I'm going to continue to teach on this. Next week I'll be sharing with you 5 things that you can do to recall your dreams. A lot of times people will say, I don't remember my dreams, so I'm going to give you some steps on how you can recall your dreams. Then I'll be teaching on foundational principles for interpreting dreams. I'll be talking about how you interpret your dreams. And then I'll be sharing with you how you can discern dreams about yourself. Most of the dreams that we have are about ourselves. You know, a lot of times when we have a dream, we say, and in the dream you see a prophet and you say, Prophet Kyle, I saw you doing this in this dream and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes we think that we're actually ministering to that prophet, and sometimes we can be. But a lot of times when we see someone in a dream, it's symbolic of an area of our personality or something about ourselves that God is doing something with. So we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to teach on these things on dreams, and then on my last teaching, I don't know how long it's going to take me to teach this series, maybe 4 or 5 weeks. I'm going to do some impartations so that you can begin to start manifesting more dreams, and so that the heavens, according to Malachi 3:10, will be open over you so that you can receive everything that God has for you. Amen. All right, well, I'm getting ready to open up the phone lines and do a little bit of prophecy tonight. All right, caller, your last 4 digits are 3395. You're live and on the air.
Hey, Prophet Kyle, this is Tamara. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. What did you think about the teaching tonight?
I absolutely love the teaching. I actually had been studying about dreams all this week, and when I saw the email that you would be teaching on dreams, I just knew I had to get on tonight.
Oh, that's cool. It was a setup. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you have any questions or concerns, anything?
No, I didn't have any questions. I just really wanted to get in on this teaching tonight. Like I said, I had been studying about dreams, and I was able to take some good notes.
Amen. Amen. Well, Tamara, I hear the Lord saying that I'm about to use you in the area of teaching, for the Lord says you are going to be one of my biblical scholars, and you've always known of the anointings that you have on your life in the area of music. But the Lord says, now I'm going to begin to also use you in prophetic teaching as well. And God says that a position is going to open up at the current ministry that you're in the area of teaching ministry. And God says you're going to be teaching Bible studies. And the Lord says that this Bible study is going to grow. It's going to start out small, but it's going to grow and grow and grow. And God says, as you continue to move forward in this teaching, you're going to see a divine increase in the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in your life as well. So the Lord says, continue to study, show yourself approved. But the Lord says, I'm calling you to be a prophet and a teacher, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, caller, your last four digits are 0233.
Yes. Hi, Prophet Cal. This is Sheila in Fayetteville, and I got my daughter Keith on the phone, too. I was actually reading in Genesis about Abram just last night about the dream that God gave him, okay, the promises. And so, anyway, Friday I woke up because I had a bad dream. And my dream was there was a snake withering between my mattress and my box spring. And I froze in my sleep. And then when I woke up, I was still frozen because it seemed so real to me. So I got up and I got my phone and turned the light, you know, put the light on my phone to look down at the floor and make sure the snake wasn't there. So then I started binding and rebuking it, you know, after that. So I don't have a deal with that, man.
Yeah, okay, so, you know, your bed is where you rest, and the Lord is saying that the enemy is basically trying to bring a lie, you know, because usually snakes symbolize some type of deception. So what the Lord is saying that the enemy is trying to sow some seed of discord and mistruth to cause you to be at unrest. But just like you did, you saw it and you bound it. God says, you know, it's a situation that you have under your authority that you can take control over. So, you know, just know that if you take control over it, you'll see that situation just fall to the ground and you'll walk in, divine authority. So, yeah. So it seems kind of like a disturbing dream, but it's actually a good dream because the Lord is showing you what the purpose of the enemy is and how he's going to use you to take authority over it.
Okay. Okay. And I got my daughter Keisha on the phone too.
All right.
Keisha?
Hello, Prophet.
Hey. You have a question, comment, concern?
I just wanted some prayer about your child.
She's going for an interview. She's going for an interview. When is the interview or phone interview?
Yeah, it's a phone interview on Tuesday.
Okay.
She really wants the job, and it's paying really good. So really good.
Okay, good deal. Good deal. And your name is Keisha?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Keisha. We thank you, Lord, what you have for Keisha is for Keisha. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've got a good job, a good paying job with good benefits. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her favor, that she's going to speak and declare what you want her to say, and that she'll say what she needs to say, answer the questions thoroughly, and that they'll just be totally captivated in what she has to share. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for her humility. We thank you, Lord, for her knowledge and her wisdom. And Keisha, I just hear the Lord saying that, you know, a lot of times you sell yourself short. You know, sometimes it's a thin line between humility and not knowing who you are in Christ. And the Lord says, I've placed many gifts within you, and I've placed you to be one who is very knowledgeable. And the Lord says, you're very wise upon a lot of different things. But I see, like, from an early age, the enemy tried to break you down, tried to make you feel like you didn't know much about different things. A lot of it came in the form of fashion of children and colleagues and people that you grew up around. But the Lord says, I'm going to cause you to grow into the knowledge of knowing that you are wise, that you are smart, that you are intelligent, and that what you put your hands to will prosper. So the Lord says, as you go forward in this job, know that you have all the skills needed to do whatever you need to do. And I sense that you are going to get the job, and the Lord is cautioning me to tell you, though, when you get there, the enemy is going to immediately try to sow a seed in you that you don't know what you're doing or that you're not equipped for the job. But the Lord says he wants you to know that that's a lie, that he's equipped you for the job, and whatever he's called you to, he'll allow you to succeed. So when you find yourself in those situations where you feel a little weak, you don't necessarily know what to do, I said, just take some time, hear from me. I'll give you a directive on exactly what to do, because God says, I placed you at that job for such a time as this, and know that you know that you know that you're supposed to be there, because I sanctioned it and I've ordained it, says the Spirit of the living God.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You, Prophet.
Amen. You're welcome. God bless you, ladies.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye. All right, caller, your last four digits are 2103. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. It's Prophet Kyle.
Hi. How are you doing? I'm Jamie. You had said something about dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting them all my life. Since I spiritually went the other direction, I would get the same thing exactly what it is she was talking about, about dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have a hard time understanding what they are, and sometimes I can hear voices, but it's like a subtle sound. It doesn't sound evil. It just sounds very subtle. And it sounds real peaceful. And sometimes I don't understand what that is. Could that be my dad trying to tap in? That, you know, let me know I'm okay? Or is that guy trying to communicate with me saying I'm doing it right? Or
Before you go on, let me ask you a couple questions. Okay, so first thing is you mentioned that when you went the wrong way. So what does that mean? Does that mean you were involved in a cult or psychic?
No. I had just lived out of my spirit. I lived in the
flesh. Okay, gotcha.
You know what
gotcha.
I'm saying? I put God on hold, and, you know, just something was telling me I was really, really weak and I needed to go back. And I cried for the first 6 months of me going back to church. And
okay,
I had a lot
okay.
of spiritual healings and stuff.
Okay.
So and a lot of good has come my way, and I praise Him every day.
Cool. So let me share. So the second thing you said is okay. So hearing voices is not necessarily bad. The Scripture says, you know, that God will speak to us by His Spirit. But the Scripture does also say that there are many voices, none without significance. So it says, you know, we try the spirits by the Spirit to see if they are God. If any spirit says that Jesus is of curse, then we know that it's not God. But if it says that Jesus is of the flesh, then we know that it is God. So basically, what that all means is that any voice that we hear, it should be exalting and it should be affirming God and Jesus. And so that's how we kind of test the spirits and offices of God. Does it glorify Jesus? If it's leading us and guiding us to do something that the Bible speaks against, then we know that voice is not of God. But if that voice is speaking to us, telling us to do something good, then that is the Lord. And you were talking about, you know, is that my dad trying to speak to me? Well, no, because the Scripture speaks expressly against that. That's what the Scripture refers to as necromancy. You know, the Lord never commissions us to speak to the dead. You know, as a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, you know, you were carried away by these dumb idols. Now you have come into the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God, which is a living God, an eternal spirit that speaks to us, it will speak to us. But there's no purpose for a dead person to speak to us, because the Scripture says that person has now gone on to the Lord. If he was in Christ, and if he was not in Christ, then he's gone on into eternal damnation.
Okay, because I'm not sure what it. I'm just really not sure because I just heard it was on the night of my dad's death. Since 6 years, about 3:15 in the morning, I went to go lay down, and I laid down for a second, and I went to go lay down, and I heard "I love you." And it was on the same night of my dad's death date of 6 years back.
Okay.
And then my mom got my dad cremated, and she never buried him. She never put him out or anything. So it's like I can get visions of I see visions of my dad all the time. And it's just confusing because I don't know if that's signs saying that he's okay, he's with God, or because my brother's a minister, and I haven't talked to him in a long time. So I can't really ask him if he gets the same thing as I get.
Well, okay, so this is what you do in a situation like that. You pray and you say, Lord, if this is God, if this is you, you know, then let me continue to see my father and let whatever you're trying to communicate to me be communicated. If it's not you, Lord, then I don't want to have these visions anymore. And if it's not of God, then he won't come and appear to you anymore. Now, you talked about when you were dead, that's not necessarily in itself demonic, because I've had luck when both my father and my auntie died. They came, you know, and visited me after they died, and they let me know that they were in heaven. You know, it was like they were confirming to me that they were in heaven. So it's not necessarily always demonic, but really just put it under the filter of the Lord and just ask the Lord, you know, if this is you, then I want to experience and find out what you're trying to say. And if it's not you, then I bind it. And if it's not God, then you know you won't have it. You won't have that manifestation anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, because
sometimes I get these visions. Like I said, I don't know if it's demonic, trying the enemy mm-hmm. trying to play tricks mm-hmm. on me, because it upsets me. You know, and I don't want to show the enemy fear to where it made me upset, because then it'll say, oh, I got her. You know, and it's just.
Yeah, one thing about it is if you have that vision and it's not God and you bind it, it's going to go away. And if it doesn't go away, then it's if you bind it in the name of Jesus, it's going to go away. If you bind it in the name of Jesus and it doesn't go away, then typically it means it's something the Lord is trying to speak to you, because God will speak to you through dreams and visions as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
Really what you can do is, can I pray with you right quick?
Yes, please.
Okay, just repeat this after me. Just say, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That you speak to me through dreams and visions.
That you speak to me through dreams and visions.
And Lord, if there's anything that the enemy is trying to show me.
And Lord, if there's anything that the enemy is trying to show me.
That you do not want me to see.
That you do not want me to see.
I put it under the blood of Jesus.
I put it under the blood of Jesus.
I sanctify my mind.
I sanctify my mind.
My will and my emotions.
My will and my emotions.
To the Holy Spirit.
To the Holy Spirit.
And I cover my mind, will, and emotions.
And I cover my mind, will, and emotions.
With the blood of Jesus.
With the blood of Jesus.
So, Lord, I thank you now.
So, Lord, I thank you now.
That I receive only the revelation that you want me to receive.
That I only receive the revelation that you want me to receive.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, sister, you notice the way I pray that. So, see, God wants to talk to us through visions and dreams. So you having these visions and seeing things is not necessarily evil. It's just that sometimes if our mind, will, and emotion has not been sanctified by the Holy Spirit and have it covered with the blood of Jesus, you know, we sometimes may tap into other spirits. And so that's what I was doing, just praying. So whatever God wants you to have, you'll have, and whatever the enemy wants you to have, it'll be blocked.
Okay.
Amen.
I
God bless
better.
You. Good.
Thank you.
Good. Good. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, caller, your last four digits, 3250, 3250. Hello? Hello? Going once, going twice?
I'm here.
All right, caller,
hello.
How can I help you?
Well, my name is Adrienne, and I was listening. And I was listening to wonderful teaching. And for me, what it has been is I've always had dreams. I've always had visions from the youngest age that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like in the last couple of years, it seems to have siphoned down. Like I cannot remember them, and I can't
mm-hmm.
I don't seem like I dream regularly like I have been. It's been so vivid. I get more, seems like I get more deja vu, like, you know, as the dream is coming to pass, I remember, oh, my goodness, I dreamed this. And a lot of times it will change my outcome for what I'm doing. I guess it probably was a vision. But it'll change the outcome for what I'm doing in the moment because I'll remember that I've seen this before. I've been here before, and what the outcome was, sometimes not so good, and the Lord will shift me to do something different to rectify that outcome. But I just feel like in the last couple of years especially, it seems like my dream life has sort of gotten very lean.
Okay, and so typically that leanness comes from us, and I'm not passing judgment, but us not totally regarding that element. And so basically what we do is, you know, you just pray to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, I realize that you speak through dreams and visions and that dreams and visions are significant to you, so they're significant to me. And so by you saying that what God is bringing to you is significant, then God will begin to start speaking to you again in that area. But a lot of times God will cut down on how he speaks to us or how he moves in a different area because we don't totally regard what he's doing in those situations. And the other thing is, you know, keep a dream journal. By you beginning to journal what it is that you're dreaming, that says to the Lord spiritually that what you think that he's showing you is significant. So by you regarding it significant, he's going to treat it more significantly, and he's going to start speaking to you more often in that way.
Okay. Will do. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. All right, caller 8777. Caller, you are at 8777. Okay. All right, caller, you are 2318.
Hello?
Hello.
It's me. My name is Cora. And
Hey, Cora.
Hi, how are you? I am a dreamer, and I see visions, and at night sometimes it's like I see like pictures, like a play, things, and sometimes I just don't understand what they are until something happens, and then I'll say, oh, that's what that dream meant. But I really enjoy your teaching. I've really always been fascinated with dreams and visions and that whole thing and trying to interpret. I know that God is the interpreter of dreams.
Sure.
That's something I've always wanted to do. And
Amen.
Your teaching was really informational.
Thank you.
It was great.
I appreciate you. I will be actually doing this for the next few weeks, and so I'll even be going through giving you ways in which you can interpret your own dreams, or at least it'll give you a good starting spot on how you can begin to start interpreting dreams for yourself.
Well, thank you. I know. I do have some ways and some tactics. I know that dreams are symbolic. So over the years, I've learned that certain things that I dream about, it means a particular thing.
Yes.
God does speak to me in my dreams. And he does show me things before they happen.
Yes.
And he shows me things about people. And, that whole gamut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good deal. So hopefully you'll find the teaching will be of help to you some kind of way.
I believe it will. Even tonight, I'm going to go back over these scriptures that you gave and, you know, allow the Holy Spirit to give me even deeper revelation in that.
Amen. God bless you.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Thanks. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Cora. I'm calling from North Carolina.
Okay. Well, thank you, Cora.
Thank you. And if you could pray for me, I would really appreciate that.
Sure. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for Cora. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Cora's life. Cora, the Lord says this is just the beginning. The Lord says that you had many things fall apart over the last season. I even see where the enemy took things away from you. I see property being repossessed. I see just a lot of different things, or even a significant relationship came to a close. But God says, I'm going to restore all things. As my word has said, I will restore the years, the locust, the cankerworm, the palm worm of Eden, and I'm going to cause you to walk into a new dimension of holiness and grace. And so the Lord says, just remember, just as with Job, where he lost everything, but he was at the end, he was given double when he made the recognition of who I am. God says, so shall it be with you. So as you recognize who I am and what I'm doing in your life, God says, I'm going to cause you to receive a double blessing. And I'm going to give you honor for your shame. And God says, you'll be rectified, you'll be restored, and you'll be renewed, says the Spirit of the living God.
Thank you. I just got to say this one thing to you.
Yes, ma'am.
You were so on point. God will
God bless
you. Everything that you said, and it's confirmation. So I needed to hear that. I really needed to hear that. I know God told me that same word, and you just reconfirmed what he said, and he used you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. God bless you,
so
sister.
So know that you are in the will of God, too. Thank you.
Oh, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you.
God
thank
bless.
You.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty, 2816.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes. My name is Erica. I'm from Atlanta.
Hey, Erica, how you doing?
I'm fine. And first of all, I hope you feel better.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to shut it down probably after one more caller. God is good. I feel good. It's just I was out in the elements last week and all day and out in the rain. And then Tuesday I got caught in the rain and, you know,
okay.
You can get away with it for a while. He kind of catches up with you, God is good. How can I help you? You have a question, comment, concern?
Well, I am a dreamer. I have dream journals. Probably I started 2005 journaling. And so sometimes I'll get frustrated. A lot of times my dreams seem literal, like they, like if I have a dream about someone, I'll send them the dream and some part of it resonates with them. So it's hard sometimes for me to decipher which ones are symbolic and which ones are literal because so many have been literal for other people. And maybe some aspect of it also would have to do with me, but I had a recent one.
So what causes it? I want to hear your dream, and I'll see if I can help you interpret. But what causes the frustration? What's the frustration about?
I think because I'm such a literal person, but because I've had so many dreams, it has expanded my mind to think symbolically as well. So I think the initial frustration was because, okay, this, you know, it's showing me this, so it equals this, but then I had to just, you know, mature in it more and say, okay, you know, there are some aspects that's symbolic, as well as some things don't happen, as you mentioned in your lesson, until later. Like I had a dream someone was pregnant in 2013, and it actually happened in 2016, the very month. Month for month, 3 years later. So, that was literal. So, you know, some dreams don't start to manifest until years later. And so I'm trying to find a pattern in as far as years are concerned. So I, you know, I'm like, okay, are things going to start happening? Do I need to go back and look at my 2013 dreams? And are they going to happen 3 years later? So just trying to find, I guess, the different dynamics and how God's speaking to me personally, you know, through dreams and the pattern of where I am
that's,
right now.
I really think that you're onto something. You know, you're talking about the pattern because that pattern is designed differently for every particular person. That's why dreams and visions are not, it's not a science, you know, it's an art because God's speaks to different people differently with different time frames. And so
by you being
able to just go back and look at stuff and then trace it, that's a good mm-hmm. thing, because God will show you how he speaks to you about particular things. So what was your dream? Was there a dream you wanted me to interpret or help you with?
Yeah. Without going from A to Z in it, I was with a friend who, he's with someone who's verbally abusive and
mm-hmm.
very emasculating. And
mm-hmm.
so we were outside and I noticed two cars, a black car and a white car, but the white car, there was a tornado and the white car was in the air. And so
mm-hmm.
it got windy and I felt like I was about to blow away, but then I was about to grab onto a rail, but then he grabbed me and then he kind of made light of the tornado and grabbed me, like as if to say, you know, you don't need to hold on to that. I got you. And so people were taking cover. I was like, no, I said, we have to take cover. But it was a glass building and it almost seemed like we were, once we finally did get in, even though the person in front of us closed the door, we still got into this glass building. It felt like we were inside but outside. And there were
mm-hmm.
a couple of people
mm-hmm.
on lawn chairs. So I looked out of the window to the back of the building and
mm-hmm.
I saw the damage from the tornado. And I was like, well, that's weird because the tornado's on the other side where we just came from. And then someone said, oh, no, that's from yesterday. And then so I went back to the front of the building, and the tornado was gone. But the interesting thing was when the person said, oh, that's from yesterday, I had actually been praying and interceding for that very person that was in the dream with me. So I don't know if it's relatable to me having prayed for this person. I don't know.
Yeah, what that dream is basically saying is that God was giving you some revelation that person or people that you have relationship with, you know, are getting ready to go through some tumultuous situations. So God was
mm-hmm.
showing you how to be prepared and to pray for it. And the thing about it is these people are experiencing it, but just like with the significance of the tornado, they don't recognize how significant and how serious the situation is. But
mm.
you do. And so God is going to use you to pray. And the interesting thing about it is once you come through on the other side, you'll recognize that everything that you've prayed for, you don't have to be concerned about it coming to attack you because it's already past you. It's already behind you. God has already put that stuff behind you. And then you being in that building was symbolic. God said, okay, I'm giving you protection, but you're still going to be able to see what's going on. So even though the situation is not going to hit you, it's not going to harm you, you're still going to be able to see it and see what's going on and how it traumatically affects other people. That's interesting because that dream is kind of connected to the prophecy. I don't know if you heard at the beginning of the show when I was prophesying, God was saying the same thing, that he was going to give us dreams and that basically – We were getting ready to go through a season of turmoil, but the God was going to show us through our dreams and vision what was about to happen so that we could pray and intercede for people and protect people, and most importantly, protect ourselves.
Okay.
And in those situations, as we saw them interacting, they weren't going to harm us. But I think the main takeaway in that whole dream is that God's giving you ability to see the seriousness of things and how things are moving and how the enemy is trying to operate, even if other people don't even recognize how significant or how serious the situation is.
So, what about the building that had been damaged and then someone told me it was from yesterday? And then when I went back to the front of the building where me and my friend entered into the building, the tornado was gone. Like, was that yesterday? Because
yeah,
I was
yeah, that,
interceding
that, yeah,
for
that,
him
that,
yesterday. Was
yeah,
that
yeah.
something that has already happened?
Yeah, yeah, that was what God. Yeah, so he was saying yesterday. He was saying that piece of it. It has already passed. It's already passed. It's already happened. So
okay.
And you know, sometimes dreams, God will do that. He'll show you stuff that's going to come, but then he'll also show you what's happening now and then what's already happened, just like in a prophetic word. So he basically, that was also a confirmation that, you know, this has already happened. This already passed. When you woke up, did you feel at peace or did you feel anxious? I mean, what was your emotion?
I didn't really understand what it meant completely, but I felt good about it because, like I said, I had been interceding specifically for this person. Just this person, you know, just the day before. So for the person in the dream to say, this is from yesterday, you know, I think sometimes when there are tornadoes or tsunamis or something, it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's good because things could come to a head. And then, so when when I went to the front of the building and the tornado was not there, it I was thinking it was like, okay, because of your interceding, something did come to a head, but it doesn't have to be as bad as it could have been.
Right. Your prayers thwarted it, and now God is saying now that situation is not in front, but it's past.
Okay.
It's a good dream. It's a good dream.
Well, could you pray for that person for
Absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely. Okay. Do you mind naming his name? Or
Theodore.
You can give it, Theodore. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Theodore. Father, we thank you, Lord, that every plan that the enemy has been thwarted through the intercession and prayers of the saints. Father, we thank you, Lord, that no weapon that's formed against him shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against him in judgment is condemned, and that the storms have passed. And so now, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would just rest upon Theodore and that he will remain fixated, situated in your perfect will for his life. And, Father, any area of his life that's not aligned with your purpose, we just command it to leave, and we bind Theodore to – we bind his mind to your mind, his thoughts to your thoughts, his will to your will. And we thank you, Lord, that Theodore remains fixated perfectly smack dab in the middle of your perfect will for his life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you. Amen. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless you.
You too.
All righty. Bye-bye. All right, caller, your last digits was 1015.
Hello, Prophet. How are you?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to comment to you and to just let you know that that may God continue to bless you because you are doing such an awesome, awesome job. And just wanted to just give you just your due. Just wanted to give you your blessing. And I just ask that may you pray for my son, Darian, please. My name is Benita calling from Augusta.
Okay, Benita. Are you're one of my parishioners, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Good to hear from you. And Darian?
Darian,
okay. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Darian. Father, we thank you, Lord, that Darian is walking in divine purpose. Does Darian play athletics? Is he in athletics?
No, he's not. Well, I'm going to say not yet because he does like to bounce the basketball and he likes to watch football.
See, that's exactly what I saw. I saw him playing basketball. How old is he?
He's 10.
Yes, I saw him playing basketball. I just saw someone like in a basketball suit playing basketball. And the Lord wants you to know that Darian is going to be an athlete unto me. And I see Darian traveling throughout the country playing basketball. And the Lord says, I'm going to anoint that and I'm going to gift him in that. Darian is also going to be an avid reader. He's going to be somebody who is very given to athletics and academics. The Lord says he's going to be someone very gifted in writing and reading. And that's one of the things that's going to really set Darian apart from other athletes is that he's just going to have a strong acumen for academics as well. It's like he plays basketball because he chooses to, not because it's the only thing that he can do. And he's going to be very gifted in literature, in reading and writing, the Lord says. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Darian, and we just seal it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for Benita, one of my parishioners who sows the pastor's tithe and offering. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you just increase her And Father, as your word has said in Malachi 3:10, that you bring in the tithes and the offerings, that you, we will remain under open heaven. And I thank you, Lord, that Benita remains under open heaven, receiving everything that you have for her. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Oh, that is just so awesome. And, you know, he's been having some trouble. So for you to say that, I see that's why the enemy is just so trying to get on to him and
yeah.
was trying to take his speech at an early age. And for him, because he really does love to learn. And I know that God's glory is coming out of him. I don't know when, but I just know it's coming. And I'm just standing
in faith. Do this for me if you can this summer.
Okay.
Get him into some reading classes. So if you can get him you may even find like a reading specialist at your school, you know, and see if you'll ask them if they'll work with him over the summer.
Okay.
You know, you might have to pay him a little something.
Because he sees a speech therapist on every Saturday, but a reading,
yeah.
I will look into that.
Yeah, but this will be somebody who he'll, you know, who is going to give him a love of reading. And so
okay.
It's a teacher he'll be working with. I see that. And he'll be reading and she'll be reading to him. And then he's going to gain a thirst for knowledge and really start enjoying reading. And from there, his academics are really going to take off. So if you can, maybe if you look at his school, they have a reading coach and see if she might be interested in working a few hours every week or working an hour every week with his reading. Something of that nature. He's going to grow by leaps and bounds over the summer.
Oh, that's awesome. So no longer delayed, but ahead. Awesome.
Amen. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You, Benita. Thank you.
God bless you too, Prophet. May you feel better.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, last caller now. I kept trying to hang up, but I kept seeing this caller. Last four digits, 1111. 11 is symbolic of the prophet, so I had to open the phone lines. Who am I speaking with? Caller 1111. Hello, hello, hello. Okay. Well, all right. I tried to pick up. I saw the last four digits, 1111. I tried to answer. Well, listen, guys, I love you all so much. Make sure you listen next week. I'll be teaching part two of how to hear God in your dreams. Also, to support me, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, you can go to my website, ProphetKyle.com. I had to think about it because sometimes I go by Prophet Kyle T. Miller. But if you go to ProphetKyle.com, go to my website. There you have several different ways in which you can sow a seed. You can sow a seed and receive a personal prophecy. You can sow a donation seed. With the donation, any donation that you make into the ministry, you receive a personal prophecy. I also do prophetic counseling, along with the prophetic phone call, which is where you can schedule me within a 24 hours time and talk to me face to face. Anyway, I love you guys so much, and as I always say, pray for me, and I will pray for you. God bless you. Bye-bye.